We pray. Heavenly Father, you have promised to be with us in this life. Through the gift of baptism, your Holy Spirit dwells within us and helps us and guides us and leads us amidst all the conflict and opposition that come our way. Lord, strengthen us each day. Open our hearts and minds to your will. Give us courage to stand firm in the faith and belief in Christ Jesus as Lord, despite all around us that's pulling us in other ways. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. How well do you handle conflict? I thought a lot about this question over the last couple weeks, and I realized that I don't like conflict. If you were like me of sound mind, you don't seek it out. You don't welcome opposition in your daily life. You don't look for disagreement. You don't look for strife and trouble. No, we like a peaceful existence. We prefer calm. We like when there's agreement in the world. But opposition and conflict seem to just have a way of just wiggling into our daily lives. So this morning we heard one of Paul's letters he wrote to the early Christian church that was facing their own kind of conflict and opposition. And this letter was written somewhere around the year 67, so 30 some odd years after Christ's death and his resurrection. So in the big picture of history, the church was still very young. It was in its infancy stages. So we see that there are historical roots for conflict and opposition coming at the Christian church. Just look at the life of our Lord Jesus, the very object of our faith. From his first breath to his last breath, he faced opposition and conflict. And still today, some 2,000 years after our Lord Jesus walked this earth, the Christian church still faces conflict and opposition as we try to stand in God's word and profess Christ Jesus as Lord. Now, Jesus tells us in the scriptures, doesn't he? The world is going to hate you on account of me. He makes it very clear that being a Christian in this world is going to bring conflict to our lives. So it shouldn't be a surprise for us, right? We should kind of expect it. So back to my original question. As a Christian, as a disciple in the world today, standing in God's word, professing Christ Jesus as the Savior, how do you handle opposition and conflict when it arrives at your doorstep? It seems there's several ways, right? First, we could fight sin with sin. Fire with fire, bomb with bomb. Equal measure, right? Second option, we could run and hide. Just check out, head out the back door. Third option, we could fold and give in. Just start doing what the world tells us to do. Start looking like the world. That's easier, right? This is a hard question. I know I can stand up here and say, what would you do? But if we're put in a pinch, in a tight spot, this is a really hard question to answer. But there's a fourth option that Paul spoke about in his letter read this morning. You can stand firm in the Christian faith and willingly suffer for it. When facing unjustified conflict and opposition, as Christians today, God calls us to respectfully, graciously, and even lovingly remain faithful to his word and our belief that Jesus is the only way. Now, in his letter, Paul spoke very specifically about suffering unjustly. In other words, suffering when you don't deserve it. You've done some type of good, and the world around you responds with some kind of hatred or conflict. It's not warranted or necessary. He said specifically, but if when you do good and suffer for it, you endure, this is a gracious thing in the sight of God. This is a pleasing thing in the sight of God. This is an acceptable thing in the sight of God. Now, this seems counterintuitive, doesn't it? This doesn't make sense. You do something good and then you get something negative in return. That doesn't sound like something you want to do or pursue. Yet, Paul's words are very clear. It's pleasing to God. Now, if you were to take just this text out into the streets and share it with someone who had no context of the gospel, they would hear that and they'd think, man, God's kind of messed up. God's pleased when I suffer unjustly? Now, let me pause just a second. God's not pleased with the sin coming at you, but he's pleased with you suffering and remaining in the faith. There's a bigger picture story embedded here, isn't there? We get some clarity in verse 21 where Paul wrote, "For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you might follow in his steps." Christ Jesus was perfect, yet he was hung on a cross. His life and his death provide the peak example of unjustified suffering. You can read every word in the four Gospels, and you won't find one single moment of Christ's earthly ministry where he did anything wrong. Never once sinned. And Paul echoes this. Verse 22, "He, Jesus, committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten." In other words, when he was hated, he didn't hate back. When he suffered, he didn't seek retaliation and revenge. He didn't respond sin for sin. He didn't run out the back door and hide. And he didn't change and start reflecting the sinful ways of the world. No, our Lord Jesus, when facing opposition and conflict, he stood firm, lovingly, graciously, respectfully in the will of his heavenly Father. He stood in loving sacrifice because that is what God sent him to do. That is what God said was good. His life, his death, his resurrection. God said, it's good. It's good because of what it accomplished. He lived a life of perfect obedience to God's law, the way a human being was supposed to live before the fall. He showed us that perfect example. He fulfilled God's requirements. And then through his death, the greatest sacrifice known to man, he paid the penalty for sin, for my sin, for your sin, so that we can sit here today forgiven. His suffering brought God's forgiveness and redemption to you and me. Yeah, today you and I, right here and now, we're at peace with God. It's beautiful. We're forgiven. That relationship that we broke is restored. We've been given the two most precious things known to man, the forgiveness of sins, the promise of eternal life, on account of what Jesus did for us. By his wounds, as the scripture says, by his wounds, you have been healed. And in that blessed state, God says, go now, live a life that mirrors the example that your Lord Jesus provided. Conflict and opposition are going to come, guaranteed. Bet the farm on it. It's going to happen. And God says, when that does, when that problem and that trouble and that negativity hits you, be humble. Be respectful. Be kind to those who hate you on account of Jesus. Why? Because that's what Jesus did. He was humble. He was respectful. He was kind, loving, gracious, forgiving to those very people that hated him for being him. God calls us to be faithful to his commands, to love as we are loved, to forgive as he forgives us. We're to mirror our Lord Jesus. Paul wrote in verse 24, "He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness." He took our punishment so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. It's God calling us to be different, to not be like the hateful world around us, but to be like the righteous Lord Jesus that dwells within us. And know this, God doesn't say, hey, do this and then good luck. I'll watch over here, and then he kind of watches. No, his Holy Spirit dwells within us. He is right there with us every single day as we strive to follow this command of his. It's his Spirit that dwells within us that gives us a fighting chance, that goes against our sinful nature and helps us to do the things that we are not naturally inclined to do. It makes us different. And notice what Paul said in verse 23, how Jesus endured. He said that Christ remained steadfast by entrusting himself to him who judges justly. Jesus, the man, entrusted himself to God, facing all the hardship, the hatred, the anger, the conflict. He entrusted himself to God. He entrusted himself to God when he was nearly beaten to death. He entrusted himself to God when the nails were driven through his flesh. He entrusted himself to God when he took his very last breath on the cross. When we respond to God calling us to live in this different way, we do it fully and completely entrusting ourselves to him. We trust that he's going to give us the strength and humility. We trust that he's going to give us the ability to love and forgive when it is so unnatural and we so very much don't want to do it. We entrust ourselves to him to protect us and care for us in those moments. I want to leave you with this final thought. When we remain steadfast in the Christian faith, when we continue to proclaim Christ Jesus as Lord, even though unjust hatred and ridicule and conflict come and hit us smack in the face, when we do that, we're not only pleasing God, but we're providing an incredible witness to the world about just who God is. We're making this gospel, this beautiful gospel of God's love and forgiveness, we're making it so very appealing to the world around us. If we respond to hate with hate, we just blend into the crowd. If we respond to sin with sin, we just look like the hateful world around us. We're no different, and there's far too much of that already. But when we mirror the example of our Lord Jesus, when we shine his light into our neighborhoods, our places of work, our schools, our gyms, our ball fields, when we do that, here's the beautiful thing. God just might use you to plant a seed in someone's life, some lost soul's life that needs to come to God's love and forgiveness, that love and forgiveness that we have right now and that we cherish every day. That's the ultimate good we're after, right? That all may come to faith, that all may come to believe that Christ Jesus is Lord and Savior. So go about the vocations God has given you, the blessings. They're all blessings. Purpose in life is beautiful. Go about those things in peace, knowing that you're forgiven, you're redeemed, you're loved by God. And then keep your eyes and your ears open, especially when that conflict comes. Seek the Spirit to help you respond in the way that our Lord Jesus set in his own life. We pray. Heavenly Father, this life is difficult. This life is so challenging and troubling. And Lord, there is so much temptation to give in. But Lord, it's by your Holy Spirit that we can stand firm in the faith, that we can cling to the Lord Jesus, that we can believe. Lord, give us strength each day. Use us as you see fit, so that all may come to faith in your Son. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.